Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, as we now have our third week in Luke chapter 10. And we begin this with just a simple question. What do you consider needful? The world sees it's needful to define our identity by how we feel instead of how we are created. Our culture feels it's needful that everyone agrees with the wants of, well, the media manufactured majority, even as is needful to strike down as hateful, bigoted, and phobic anyone who disagrees. Our own flesh makes all types of things needful, yet these are all temporary items, such as transportation and housing, clothing and food, education, family, friends, health, healthcare, vacations, sporting activities, and naps. And while all these things are needful within their proper places, yet they are not the one thing necessary our text is talking about, as the presence of these will not get you into heaven, nor will their absence prevent you from having eternal life. Our text today is calling us, it's calling for us to see the conflict between our wants and our needs. King David explains what is needful in Psalm 27 as he prays, and we join with him in verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And you know in your own flesh, as I do in mine, these words are easier to say than to actually do. And so Jesus tells Martha, and the Martha inside of each and every one of us, that the one thing needful is to listen to him, to receive his life-giving service. Sad to say, even some in the church will attempt to convince you that there are times in the Christian life that you can move beyond receiving the forgiveness of your sins and receiving the Lord's service and just start, using your awesome faith. Please understand this. If you ever feel you have outgrown the Lord's service and the need for the Lord's forgiveness, you are a heretic and spiritually dead. It's that simple. Our life-giving Lord Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so we must always, always be grafted to Jesus. Martha didn't yet understand this. And we often get confused about it. You see, good things can choke off the work of God's word, as Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 8. And as for what fell among the thorns, that is the seed of God's word, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Martha's priorities caused her to feel self-righteous. It caused her to feel self-righteous towards her sister. And this could have caused her to miss the gift of Jesus, who is the real servant and the real host of this dinner party. You see, we know that this is Martha's house because the text tells us she's the one who welcomed him. And we would assume then, based on the fact that she is the one who has the house, that Mary is the younger sister. And we all know how older and younger siblings get along. So we can understand the struggle here. But we often fall into this trap when we are concerned about how others aren't thankful or helpful enough. And when we're grumbling and complaining and simply dragging ourselves around, these are all signs that you've not been getting served first, that you haven't received the one thing needful. For all our service to our neighbors must flow first and foremost from Jesus serving us. Instead, we replace the peace that Christ offers with anxiety and irritation and anger and rage and bitterness and resentment. That's the fruit we pick when we become so busy we forget whom we are serving with our work. We lose our focus when Christ is not at the center of our work. Our hearts become frustrated and angry when they are unplugged from Jesus and His Word. We become angry with our brothers and sisters who aren't pulling their weight. We resent being the 20% who do 80% of the work. And we're quick to point it out to anyone who will listen. We become angry even with God for leaving us all alone and not doing something about it. Serving our neighbor, dear friends in Christ, is not to be a drudgery. It is a privilege for God to work through us in our service to our neighbors. Martha was tied up in being busy and being the host, that she was missing who the host was. Think about that for just a second. Couldn't Martha's guest have eaten just a little later? And she could have sat there and actually heard. But you know, societal pressures. It could have been 12 o'clock and you have to have lunch at 12 because 1 o'clock, that's just heathen talk. Right? If you want to see the kind of stress that I envision in this text when I read this text that Martha's going through, go to a wedding and watch the bride or the bride's assistant and let something go wrong at the wedding. I had one yesterday. Not that anything went wrong like that, but it can go crazy. And I don't really understand why we get so bent out of shape at weddings over those little things. It was kind of funny because I shared this first story. The flower girl doesn't walk down the aisle. Who cares? She's a little kid. Let her not walk down the aisle. The ring bearer doesn't come. Okay. Guess what's happening at the end of the ceremony? You're still pronounced man and wife. Big whoop, right? At my wedding, my niece, my youngest of the nieces at that time, she decided she wasn't coming. Okay, so the one niece walked because she was a little older and did what she was supposed to do. And then about a minute and a half later, the younger niece decided to go herself. And she waddles between the pews and back and forth staggering like a drunken sailor. And I'm standing in the front of the church just cracking up. I thought it was hilarious. I'm glad my wife did too. Otherwise, we'd have had some fun that night, I guess. But you can't let that stuff irritate you. And we see this with Martha. She's just livid with her sister Mary. And I don't want to get in. We don't know a lot about how their family relations and all this. This is not a psychology class. This is a text where we see that Mary has chosen wisely. When it says she's sitting at His feet, she's actually trying to become His disciple. That's what you do when you sit at somebody's feet. You are their student. This doesn't mean that Mary's becoming an apostle. But Jesus had both male and female disciples. And so Martha had to have everything just so. Maybe she had read a book by Martha Stewart, or maybe something else, and it just had to be. But she needed to calm down. Because how many times have we chosen temporal things, work or play, over that thing that is necessary, God's Word and service, over being in His house, over Bible study or Sunday school? Think about it. Here at Pilgrim, we're blessed. We have 3 services a week, 1 during the midweek, 2 on Sunday. We have at least a minimum of 4 Bible classes. Then there's a number of other opportunities. If you can't make it to one of those, there's 9 other chapel services that I do every month. You could find the time and come to one of those. They're only a half an hour long. Right? And there's all these opportunities, so I can't get me to believe that you're too busy. Now there may be times for a short period that happens, but to always be too busy, Many today, you see, have mistakenly viewed worship as either a form of entertainment or a leisure activity. Something you do if you have the time to do it and don't have other plans that might get in the way. They say things like, "We would like to make it to church more often, Pastor, but we're just so busy." Yeah, I just twiddle my thumbs. But when we do that, we teach our children, we catechize them that there are so many things more important than the services of God's house. When we provide them alternative activities to church and Sunday school and make that a priority in your family, there's your God that you worship. You see, I even joined in a group at one point in town. There was a group of churches, including the Catholic Church here in town, and we were striving to try to get the club sports to not do activities on Sunday mornings. We haven't been successful. The only way it's ever going to work is if parents start saying, "Oh, our kids aren't playing on Sunday mornings." You know? But the parents and the children, they have to do it, and we'll pay a couple of $1,000 or $1,300 a year to be on that club sport, and then hotel rooms because of all the traveling, and be gone every weekend and be stressed out because the kids are trying to keep up with schoolwork and do everything else and be gone every weekend. But it's the church's fault for saying come to church. Isn't that a strange change? You see, the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, was given by God in order that His people would remember who the first servant is. Remember, if you turn worship into something you're doing for God, you're worshiping an idol. Worship is God serving you. Your response to that is serving your neighbor, God working through you. Or praise to God for what He has done. God is the Creator and the Deliverer. So it will not be taken away from you, this Sabbath rest, any more than Mary will lose it despite Martha's protest. Therefore, we will not take Christ's service from you, even if you were to ask your pastors to do so. I know there are places where that's happened, where church is turned into entertainment and narcissism, but we're not going to do that here. Because the pastors are not here to tickle your feelings or maintain a business. We are here to preach Christ and Him crucified and risen for sinners. That is for all people. We may not always feel it, but you always need Jesus. The work will get done by God's grace. But the one thing needful is and will always be Jesus, because only through Jesus will the work get done. For the Christian and the Christian congregation, worship always comes first. So come, my dear, very busy friends, and bring with you your very busy children and grandchildren and even your very busy friends and neighbors so that God may serve them. Let us all join with Mary and receive Jesus where He has promised to be, in His church, working through His word and His sacraments, as Jesus is serving, working hard, raising the dead in sin to life and an eternal. In the Lord's Supper and absolution, forgiving all sinners their sins and giving all who receive Jesus peace, even when our world is fully living in chaos. Peter's mother-in-law got it right. She was sick. She was laying in bed. She couldn't do nothing. Jesus came and healed her. Then she served. Martha later gets it right. Her brother dies. Lazarus is 4 days stinking dead in the tomb. It's amazing because in that text you see Martha and Mary switch spots. Mary stays home setting Sheba. "I'm not going to the Lord. He should have been here." Martha runs to the Lord, greets Him at the tomb. hears the word that he proclaims. And then they come home and she does what Martha does. Feeds everybody. You see, this morning you have the right, you have it right. You have come to be served by Jesus. And then with your sins forgiven and your faith strengthened and peace received, now you may go and serve your neighbors in Christ, in His love, and in our various stations in life, which, my dear friends, will look different from each other. Because it is the body of Christ, not the hand of Christ. We are many members who make up one body. It may include serving a meal, and it may not. Look at our text. Jesus shows Martha just how much He loves her. How much He loves her and us, as it will ultimately lead Him to the cross to die for our sins. He speaks to her so kindly, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This double use of her name shows Jesus' pity for Martha. Filled with His love and compassion, His deep concern for her spiritual life. So Jesus gathers her into the moment, to that appointed time for listening, for receiving, for believing. It's as if Jesus just said to her, "My dear woman, whom I love, listen to my words, for they have life and peace in them. Listen to me and receive the food for your soul, and with that life eternal in heaven." Those other things, they're important at their appointed time. But now it is the time for receiving. And this is good news for you today. I know that many of you have come today with many things on your heart and your minds. Things that you might even be thinking about right now instead of listening to the sermon. And so I'll say to you, as Jesus said to Martha, "Pilgrim, pilgrim, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and it is always Jesus for you." Which means I have good news for you. For Jesus is here for you. His word, and His word joined to water in baptism that drowns the old Adam in Jesus' death on the cross and raises us in His resurrection. In His word joined to bread and wine, which brings you His body and blood, all for the forgiveness of your sins and the certainty of your salvation and the peace of a clear conscience. What a blessed way to begin the week. To be here sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to His word, receiving His forgiveness and peace, and gathered at the table where Jesus is host and distributes the holy meal He has prepared for you. It has been given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.